Hi, and thank you for listening in to the New Song Podcast from this week's service. You are welcome and encouraged to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays in person. And for more information on how to get involved with New Song, go to newsonglouisville.org and follow us on social media. And now for today's message.
So good to see you all this morning. Good to have you in the house. Those of you that are at home there, I've missed the hugs that we get every now and then. I know some are traveling, they're on vacation. Some have been kind of locked in their homes due to sicknesses and things for a long time. And we just want to reach out and love on you this morning. There's some of you that have been walking through some pretty good challenges this summer. I mean, there's just like every place we turn, there's something new. The enemy's doing what God said he'd do. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to wreck things. He'll use every avenue possible. He'll use material things. He'll bombard your material assets until you go, "Hey God, are you still there?" Or is the enemy the only one that has control over this? I know that's a crazy thought, but I've had them. Health. "Hey God, what's going on here? We need some changes." So God, come, dear God, and just continue to show us your truth in the midst of our troubles, our tests, our trials, our temptations. For God is so good. Amen. There's a few announcements here as we go forward. We have our harvest project. You know our goal, 57.5. We're currently at 16. Yeah, we're way behind. We need to, Lord, you can move that number. You can move that number overnight. You can move that number at any time. And is the goal to hit the goal because we were hitting the goal? Or is the goal so that the commitments we made can be fulfilled? That's what we got to keep in mind. It's kind of like going out and earning money for your home. What is it you need? What is that goal you need every month or every year, however you do your finances at home? And then is it to hit that or is it to just have a good life as God would intend you to do? So, Lord, you have more than enough. And these are the people. These are some of the people. And then we have groups as well that they're dependent upon us. They've put it out there. They put their lives on. As I do, I'm not out running in different countries and doing things, but this is what they do every day. They're out there putting it on the line for the ministry and for the gospel. So keep that in mind as God puts things on your heart as He moves, and it's God, it's God that can do it, and He'll do that. So as we get ready to do our offering today, keep that in mind. Our regular offering as we go forward, that is for just keeping the church going, keeping the lights on, keeping things going, keeping salaries paid, and places so we can have meetings and picnics and those types of things here. So keep that in mind as we go forward. Life groups, small groups, so our fall semester's coming up. It is August 27th to the 28th, or excuse me, August 27th to November 25th, and there's forms that are out there on the, what do we call that, credenza, bar, I don't know what we call it out there. Both? Okay, we're just going to go with both this morning. So they're out there. We're looking for some small groups for people, and why do we do small groups? It's the smaller church inside. So some of the small groups, man, there's such a family dynamic comes in with the different families come together in groups, and it's great. There's some great teaching that can go on through the summer. Just keeps people connected. So we just love that. And as fall comes closer, and we're going to jump back in at the end of August there, why, that's what we're looking to do. We have a church picnic coming up on July the 30th. And here on the grounds, we're going to have a big slide thing, 28 foot, you crawl up it and you slide down the crazy thing, and they even throw water on it and soap, and and they even flip out the end once in a while. That's always kind of entertaining to watch the young bucks and young ladies that do that. But there is a sign-up thing, a sign-up genie thing. What's that? Perfect potluck. Perfect. She's going to email it out. You'll have it. So we'd love to have you. We're praying that we'll have perfect weather that day. Hot enough so they can play in the water, but not so hot that we're soaked in the water. Okay? You get it. You get it. So fun, food, fun, family, fellowship, and all the above. The NECA trip is in process. They left last Monday. And let's see, Pastor Jeff even sent me a message for you guys. It's really short, but he sent it. I think he ran out of words this morning. I'm not sure. Let's see. He says, praying for you all. He says, I miss everyone. Give them our love, and the trip is going very well. Trip is going very well. Now, the lovely thing I love about Pastor Jeff and my relationship, no news is good news. If I don't hear from him, things are going well, I don't bug him unless he needs something. And if he needs something, he's sure to call back and to let us know, and I love that. So somebody got some pictures here. That's pretty cool. That's good. I'd tell you what they're doing here, but I have no idea. I'm as clueless as you all are. Ministry, there you go. Oh, that's really cool. Man, either that was a baptism or they were drowning somebody. I'm not sure which it was. I'm going to go with the baptism thing. That guy looked like he was fighting to get back up pretty bad. So, my granddaughter Savannah's there, and I got a good report that she was working with some youth there, doing praying for some young people, and she's really enjoying herself there. So I'm so thankful when you can send your grandchildren out and they're enjoying what's going on. That's really cool. And then the youth events for July. As you see, they've got a lock in. Brave. Amber, you're so brave. You're such a brave woman to lock kids in with you. I'm just kidding. Picnic and a hike. And then Kings Island. Now I might have to smuggle in on that one. That would be a fun one. That's always a fun day up there. Any questions, come see Amber, one of the staff, won't lead you to. But don't let these go by, and don't let your kids miss out on some of this fun and joining in the fellowship and growing together. That's part of where we're going to go. Okay? So let's pray over our offering. You can give on PushPay. Or you can give them the buckets back there, or you can hand it to an usher on the way by when you see them. So some of us old dogs still like to put it in the bucket, to put it in there. That's okay. It doesn't matter. That's because we can't figure out the new stuff. So Lord, we just thank you for the offering. And the offering's unto something, Lord. It's not just collect money. It's not to make us rich. It's not to have CDs and all the savings, dear God. It's to keep the work of the kingdom moving forward, to keep the things, dear Father, that you've given us, Lord, to keep them up, to do the repairs, dear Father, to make things better, and just to touch. Even there's times that, Lord, where we go out and touch others with this money. And Lord, it's a necessary evil, so to speak, that we need, and we depend on you for it each and every day. Bless those homes here, dear God. There's so much need in some of these homes, dear Father. Touch them, bless them. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that's too big for you, oh God. And we thank you for that. In your precious name, amen. Amen. So thanks for allowing me to come up here today, and know that if the Holy Spirit doesn't speak through me, I got nothing to tell you. I got nothing. I can talk all day long, as some of you may know. I can talk about nothing, and I can talk about things I think I know about, but when the Holy Spirit comes in, things really can change in a hurry. And when the Holy Spirit comes in and uses my mouthpiece, it gets exciting for me, as I hope it does for you. So where do I find God? Where do you find God? Have you ever heard that? Hey, man, I can't find God anywheres. My prayers, they go and they hit the ceiling. And it feels like they go nowheres. It feels like I'm in a box and I'm saying the words, but they're going nowheres. Well, I don't believe that happens. I don't believe that ever happens. I believe when a prayer goes up, it goes to heaven, and God responds to those prayers. He responds to the cries of his children. We can read so many times in the Old Testament and the New where the children of God cried out. And it seemed like sometimes they cried out for a long time, but God responded. God was on the move. There was also some times where someone prayed and God says, hey, the moment you prayed, I dispatched angels to you. And guess what? They ran into a lot of conflict with the evil. There's battles going on in the heavens on your behalf. That's pretty gnarly to think about. That's pretty, wow. So I'm praying for my children, praying for my grandchildren, praying for someone that's lost, and the minute that's dispatched, there's a battle in the heavens. Wow. What does that say? What's that say about that person that we're praying for? Does the enemy really care that you prayed for one? Yeah. Because that may be the one that turns the heads of a thousand. And I've heard so many times that prayers have gone up. There have been such battles. And then at the deathbed, it's been the last moments that prayer was answered. There's some in our audience, and there's some that aren't even here today that they tell the stories of loved ones that have gone, and it's at that last moment that the breakthrough came, and they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that's where they found God. So do we find God, you know, under the carpets? Do we find God in the rafters? Do we find him in some kind of a religion? Do we find him in the caves? Do we find him in history? Where do you find God? Is he in this, just hanging out in the stars? Is the story to be told there? Do you find him in your heart? Ooh, there's one that's very controversial these days. Is Christ that lives in me? You know, what did Paul say? I died in Christ, therefore Christ, I died in him, and he is within me. And Christ says, he told his disciples that night, and it's wrote out, so it's to all of us. I love the Bible, that when these things are written, I can claim it. So that when I leave here tonight, gentlemen, I'm going to send you one who's going to be the comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be closer to you than a brother. He'll be close to you. He'll be within you. He'll be upon you. You know, it's no more a visitation from the Holy Spirit coming and going. Now he has settled into the home. And some of you, and even me, and a lot of times, I have a pretty cruddy home for him to hang out in, and I really got to straighten it up once in a while. When my critical spirit, the things that come out of my mouth, when my thoughts, I'm going, ooh, Holy Spirit, the home that I've given you isn't a very good home right now. I want to straighten this up. I want to clean this up. Can you forgive me and help me with that? And I love that. So where do I find God? God's been with us, will be with us, and you won't know all this till the end, till you're up there walking with Jesus. But he's been with you from the womb to the arms of Jesus. Did you get that? From the womb, actually before the womb. Scripture, I can take you to scripture and show you. Before you were in your mother's womb, I hung out with you. I spoke to you. I was with you. And then when you got in your mama's womb, he hung out in there and knit you together. So you got to bear with me. Scripture leaves a little room for interpretation. Sometimes Pastor Bert takes a little too much leeway, but here he goes. If on the average, mama's pregnant 9 months, and a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as a day, in God's timing. Anybody know how many days that I got to hang out with God in mama's womb? Anybody? What'd you say, a lot? All of them. How about 270,000 days that the Lord hung out and spoke to me and taught me and placed within me? And guess what? He knew he was equipping me for the tests, trials, and tribulations that were coming. He knew these days. He counted these days. He was aware of everything that was going to come down the tracks at me. And he says, you're going to have choices. So another crazy idea I have is if God knew me before I went to my mother's womb, you guys are going to think I'm crazy and you're going to go, Pastor Jeff, he should never preach again. I think these beings, and I'm really excited about this, I think they hung out around the throne. Spiritual beings going, I want to go. When my oldest son Jeremiah was born, Dakar and I believe his spirit says, I want to go be Jeremiah, John Moore for Bert and Carla Moore. Will you pick me, Lord? Wow. Think about that with your children. That God handpicked them and spent time with them and knit them for you. And in that, they're teaching you as much as you're raising them, as you're teaching them. God knew exactly what he was doing. Because my days were knit together in my mother's womb. And I can see where God's hand has been. I can see where he put a comma. There's times he put a period. There's times it seems like, all right, I'm gonna let you make this decision on your own. Oh, you messed up. You want me to pick you up? You're asking, and he's right there. I know I'm out there a little bit, but bear with me. I knew you before I formed you. This is in Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before I was born, before you were born, again, I get to claim all the scriptures. They're written, they're on paper, they're for me. I'm set apart. Wow. What am I set apart for, Lord? Do you guys ask that question? What are you set apart for? To take you and your four, close the door at the end of the day, and lock it up and don't let anybody in or out? I don't think so. Now, there's a time of safety. We may need to do that. But I think we're supposed to be out amongst. And I think we're supposed to be sharing. I think we're supposed to be loving. I think we're supposed to be giving. I think we're supposed to be speaking. I think we're supposed to be praying for. The interaction, the relationship is where we grow. If Carr and I go home and we sit on the deck for the next 6 months, just her and I, you know what? We're going to have a lot of ideas that we've shared back and forth, but a lot of them are going to be over and over and over. Nothing new. There will be no new teaching come in, but when you come in and you bring something, it may challenge me to look, to study, to move. It may grate me a little bit as iron sharpens iron. What does that mean? Does that mean men will walk together as knives in a drawer in the knife holder? No. That means we're honed on once in a while by each other. When the guy says, hey man, the way you talked to your wife the other day, you were really out of line. What's going on in you? What's going on? Are you guys okay? Dude, you know what? Is it any of your business to ask me that question? Well, if you have a relationship with me, yes, it is. If you don't have a relationship, you're taking a chance. He may be bigger and poke at you. I don't know. I mean, that could happen. But that's what we get to do. We get to challenge one another. We get to sharpen on one another. We get to scrape along. And the beautiful thing about a knife, if you ever really look at a knife under a microscope, it's many, many fine hairs that stand straight up. It's not just one piece of metal. It's actually hairs of metal. And when the hairs get bent over, that's where you find the dull spot in your knife. So a lot of us in our lives have our hairs really bent over. We're pretty dull. We don't go out. We don't mess with anybody else. When that garage door closes, when we drive in at 5 o'clock, that closes. That's all we see of people. And if we do let anybody in, it's only those that are safe. Nobody knew. So Cara and I, the Lord has a great way of stretching us. The other night, we were invited to a family cookout. Not our family, another family. We were the only pair of strangers there. And when I say strangers, I knew quite a few of them. But to go to someone's family function like that, stretch the old boy. Because I'm going, ooh, why would you want me there? Just telling you the way I am. And some of you are this way too. I just that's what's fun about this. And as we went, we began to talk. Carr and I talked. We talked through this. And I said, you willing to go? She said, yep. I said, I am too. I'm glad they asked. I feel honored that they asked. But on the way there, you know, how would we feel if our family was together and we invited strangers, you know, not necessarily stranger people we know, but, and Carr says, we do it all the time, which we do. And she says, how do you feel when they come in? I says, I want them to feel at home. I want them to come in. I want to love on them. I want to cherish them. I want to send them with the best experience that they could have at our family gatherings. She says, so what would make this any different? It's because I'm not in control. That's just the bottom line. So the Lord says, I'm going to pull control from you once in a while, Bert, to let you know. And the Lord knew this stuff was within me, and he knows how to work this out, and he does it in his time and in his place. So he has plans to give me a future. Next slide, please. So Jeremiah 29:11, this is the message. It's a little more, once in a while I like to look at the message. He's a little raw. His speech is a little different. But he says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Stop and think about it. He hung out in our mom's womb. I think he had things planned out. Who does that? Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. I love that word, future, that you hope for. Is the future that you've experienced thus far or that you're living through now, is that what you've hoped for? Or have you just been going along for the ride? Are you the cork that's thrown in the rapid river of life and you're just bobbing along trying to survive the waves? Or is there a future in there that God has instilled in you and you've just been going along with everybody else and you've never stood up and going, this is really what I want to do? It's so interesting that in my younger days I was taught wrong how to be a man, and I was very abusive in language, speech, and so many things to my wife. So as the years went by and she began to get her voice, the Lord says, you need to begin to give her voice and begin to nurture her heart and love on her and treat her like the partner that she is. So I began to give her that voice. Sometimes I wish she didn't have so much voice, but God still gave it to her. But it's now what I'm beginning to hear in her speech is the plans to give you the future, Miss Carr, that I had hoped for you. That's all we're wanting. And if we aren't having these conversations with each other, if we aren't sitting eye to eye and you're telling me, hey, this is what I really feel I'd like to do sometime, doesn't have to happen tomorrow, but this is really what I want to be on our radar. And I says, I like that, and I love our conversation. I like that, but this year, this season, this has got to happen. So which of those are most important? So we just go back and forth. We finally come up. Hey, God, we need you. What where in here do you want to be? Where do you want us to be? What do you want us to do? Man, that brings us 29-11 so much together. And God says, I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this well before you came along, Bert. I've had this handled. I forgot more about it, and God, don't forget, but you know how the old timers say, I forgot more than you'll ever know, punk. That's my line to my grandsons. Hey, boy, I forgot more than you'll ever know about this subject. Right, pops. It's all planned out. What's it mean to plans to take care of you? Do you feel taken care of? What's taken care of mean? Do bad things happen? Do you still feel taken care of? When the car breaks down, the refrigerator went on the blitz, the washer needs to be rebuilt, the lawnmower won't mow, and the weeds are knee high to a tall guy. Me, it really don't matter. That's almost like the norm. But you get a tall guy, there's the difference comes in. That's when you go, God, you got plans for me. He says, yeah, I've got it handled. He says, I'm not going to abandon you. I got plans for you. I'm going to move forward. So Jeremiah 29, if we move up, and this will not be on the slides, but if we move up and start, this was a letter written to the prophet Jeremiah, and the letter said this. This is the message from God, the armies of Israel, God, to all the exiles. He says, here's what I want you to do in the process. I want you to build houses and make yourselves at home. He says, I want you to put in gardens and eat what grows in the country as you plant it. Marry and have children. Encourage your children to marry and have children so that you'll thrive in the country and not waste away. Make yourselves at home there and work for the country's welfare. Pray for the country's well-being. If things go well in the country, things are going to go well with you. See, God's got a plan for it all. And in this, even though we're going to find tests, trials, and tribulations, he says, you still got to go on living. Go out and get homes. Go out and marry your daughters off to good men. Hey, dads, ask these men the hard questions. Dude, what kind of things are you hooked up into? Dads and moms, look over these young men's lives and make sure your daughters aren't walking into traps. It's up to you. It isn't up to them. I'm sorry, they just don't quite have it all together yet. Love is blind. Just think, if my father-in-law would have said, hey, Bert, do you have it all together? I'd have told him yes. But that'd have been nothing but a lie to get a hold of the girl. Guys, if you don't protect what's yours, who will? But trust me, you'll have the mess to work with and to clean up and to work with later if you don't. I know this is hard stuff. I know it, especially if you got kids. Mine are all old enough that I can still tell them what I think, you know, and they go do what they want, and I still get to love on them wherever they come back to. But I'm not at that point where I got young hearts that are trying to navigate this. But what's God say about it? Are not your children, is this promise good for your children? Yeah. So he says it's all planned out, plans to take care of them. He's not going to abandon them, plans to give them a future that they and you hope for. If you guys sit down and talk about these plans with these young ladies and these young men and pray over them, wow, things will be dispatched immediately on your behalf. God, set apart a young man that is upright and holds himself unto you. God, set apart a young woman who holds herself high and looks at you as the standard. And this young man will be. Those are the types of things we should be praying for with our children. Not just letting things go. At 10 years old, I got a boyfriend, I got a girlfriend. Well, what's that mean? Well, we held hands at lunch. Okay, so where's that going? I always told my sons, if you can't buy her a hamburger, you don't even belong dating anybody. If you can't get her on your bicycle to take her to McDonald's to buy her a hamburger, what are we doing? And he says, Dad, you just don't get it. And I didn't. Trust me. You know what's nice about getting old? You're on the other side of the fence, looking over. You can get up here on a tower and look down and go, hey, there's a trap down there. Hey, you ain't listening to me. But that's what we're required to do. That's what we're asked to do. And we'll see if they. Next slide, please. So Psalms 139, 13 through 16. Oh, yes, you shaped my first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Your wonder is breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. How many of you actually look at yourself? And I'm not going to, you don't have to show me hand, but how many, I really want you to think about this. Think, you know what? I'm wonderfully and marvelously made. And I can appreciate that. Oh, yeah, I got angry the other day. Oh, yeah, I said an off-color word. Oh, yeah, I did an off-color deed. But that didn't take away from that wonderfully and marvelously made. When I drive a brand new car and it's a beautiful car, it's really wonderfully made, and it has a flat tire, does that mean it's any less a nice car? See, we really cheapen self. God doesn't have time for that. He'll allow it because you're going to do it. But he's going to keep bringing you back and say, hey, I shaped you in your mama's womb. I hung out with you in there. I spoke secrets to you in there. I pointed things out. The wonderful things, you knew everything in your mama's womb that God spoke, and then he erased the tape. Darn. You could have left me with a few of those insights in there, God. God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. Worship and adoration, what a creation I am. And then we abuse these creations. Car and I were talking about this. I got friends and I are talking. I'm 62 years old. There's some of you that are older, I know, and you're more men than I am. But we don't slow down. We think we can do the same thing I did at 30 sometimes. And I'm going, man, I'm way in over my head. I'm sucking wind that I didn't even know I had. The gas tank's dry. I'm wore out. And it's taking me 2 days to recoup now, where it used to take me a couple hours. And my wife and how loving, and now that she's got a boy, she says, well, you have been going all month. When's the last time you took a day off? Well, I took a couple hours off the other morning. I should be. See, I'm not marveling and worshiping this creation that God has given me. Now, I'm not saying we worship ourselves. That can go south in a hurry, too. We've known folks that do that. But I never want to do that. I just want to care for what God gave me so that it can continue to move forward and function, and it'd be worthwhile to have around. So I want us to think about that on the way through, too. Quit being so hard on self. Sometimes, if you don't orchestrate a day off, I'm wondering if God doesn't have a way of orchestrating for us. He does. Thank you, Pam. I love it. He does. You know, the Sabbath, he talked about the Sabbath for a reason. You know, that day of rest. God, the creator of all universe, what did he do? He took a Sabbath. He says, we're going to put things on pause for a day, which in his case would have been 1,000 years. Crazy? Am I talking craziness up here today? So, do I have another slide yet, guys? So this, you know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculptured from nothing into this, into something. Into something. So those itty-bitty little squirmy creatures that mama gives us after all that labor turns into us's. When I look down at my children, I see some of the things they do, I'm going, they're a little us. That's a little me. My grandchildren, my children, those that mimic as they follow you, they don't even have to be your own children. They will follow you around and begin to mimic you. There'll be as much caught from the people that you are discipling and walking with as taught. They will catch. I got grandsons that I watch. We watch Xander. We call him an old soul. I mean, he dresses up. He's looking for Jeff's hand-me-downs. He's big enough to wear them now, you know, the flannel shirts and the jeans and, you know, all the other kids at his age is doing something totally different. But what's he doing? He's mimicking the man he respects. You know, my grandson, Wes, does the same thing. He'll go in and he's got a pair of boots that he likes to put on, his jeans, his T-shirts, and, hey, Papa, I sweated as much as you did today. Oh, yeah, you did. Was it a 1, 2, or 3 T-shirt day? That's how we count the heat in Kentucky. Was it a 3-shirt or a 4-shirt day? That was a really hot one today. Are you drinking plenty of fluids? Yeah. That's all my slides, right, guys? Sorry, I'm kind of... The 13th, like an open book, you watched my grow from conception to birth, all the stages of my life, all prepared before I ever lived one day. So this is all premeditated. You're premeditated in the eyes of God. He has all your days numbered out and the will and the things. And then he gives you a will. And he says, with that will, you're going to run into this or that. So Carl and I were watching a movie last night, and there was a guy, an old guy, coming to the end of his life, and he was out there with a young fella skipping rocks across the pond. And he says, I love to watch that, he says, because each one of those rings is like life. The outside is what's happening from the impact of the decision of the rock hitting it in the middle. He says, and that's what life is. When we get ready to make a decision, the impact starts here in the middle. Are you going to go to the good or are you going to go to the bad side with it? But there's going to be effect with everything we do. So to keep those little life examples in mind, they are wonderful. So God, investigate my life, get all the facts firsthand. This is in Psalm 139, clear at the beginning. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back, I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much. It's too wonderful. He's given us gifts. He's pouring it upon us. I can't take it all in, God. You ever been at the breathtaking moments in your life and you just can't take it all in? And you think you're going to take a picture and go home and celebrate it later? And the picture just doesn't do it. You couldn't take, your senses could not take in the vibrant colors and what was going on and the movements. And that's what God is in the midst of our lives. But we let life dumb us down. We let life take us to a place of where we can't see the wonder any longer. Where we can't see the magnificence of who he is. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit? Why would I want to? But I've tried. I've ran from him many a time. To be out of your sight. If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I fly to the morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'll find me there in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in his light. It's a fact, isn't it? Darkness isn't dark to you, Lord. Night and day darkness and the light, they're all the same to you. Your thoughts, oh God, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sands of the sea. Let me rise in the morning and live always with you, O God. May that be one of our prayers. And please, God, do away with the wickedness for good. And you murderers, you're out of here. All the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap and God imitations. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all the goodness, arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies, O God, are my enemies. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. This is a dangerous prayer I'm about to say, this next line. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm all about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong, then guide me back on the road to eternal life. See, there is no place you can go that he isn't concerned to bring us back. Isaiah 44:24, as I'm getting ready to close here, God, your Redeemer, who shaped your life in your mother's womb, says, I am God. I made all that is. With no help from you, I spread out all the skies and I laid out all the earth. He didn't need our help. He did this for us. He didn't do it with us. He did this for us. He laid it all out. So the truth is, so we carry around the lies, and the lies are chiseled in. But see, I love the scripture. It talks a lot about renewing the mind and the heart. See, years ago, they didn't think the mind was as elastic as it is, but they found in so many recent studies that the mind, the brain, can actually reform places that are dead. It'll actually take over a new piece, and you can teach where you used to be able to walk here. If you lost your walk, you can be taught how to re-walk, and it'll use a different piece of the brain. And in that, we know that we can kill off by renewing the old things, the old thoughts, the old things we bring against self. And we can renew with the living word every day. That doesn't mean we're proud, arrogant, narcissistic and all that. That just means we're celebrating what God has done within us. So some of the truths are we are knit and known in our mother's womb. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate that. We celebrate our mothers. That you laid our days out and you numbered them. That you, Jesus, you're telling us right now that you will never leave or forsake us. You don't turn your back on us. That we are worth everything, and you prove that by giving your life at the cross. That I am worth standing up and being called one of your sons and daughters, your beloved son, one in whom he is proud of. And sometimes, guys, you're the only one that can speak that over you. Teenagers, when mom and dad come in the house and they see something over you that's haunting you, that's daunting you, that's holding you, and they'll ask you, what's going on inside? It's because they see, they know. But if you aren't going to let them know, it's up to you to speak these things over you. I reject what the enemy's telling me right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I send that back to the desert of hell. It does not belong in my heart. And I speak freedom. I speak love. I speak grace. I speak the beauty that you've put within me. We all have these talents, this beauty, this radiance within us that God wants to bring forth. But it's up to us to help speak that forward. Don't take every diagnosis of the world that the world throws upon us. Back in November, guys, the doctors had me on kidney dialysis. They had me headed to kidney dialysis and dying. He says, you ain't got long to live, man. We got to get you in. The interesting part is you go try to find a doctor who will get you in. And it was May. That was November. It was May before I could get in. So I'm dying. You're saying I need dialysis and you can't get me into May? I got a problem. Hey, Houston, there's something wrong here. Hey, God, what do we do now? And he'll show you a plan. And I says, if it's time for me to come home, prepare everybody else because I'm ready. But I really don't want to leave yet. I don't think I'm done. I mean, you know when you're done. I think it comes. But I'm not done yet. So don't believe everything they say. Take note of it. I mean, I went looking deeper, farther, got some help in some other ways, so it got my attention. But I didn't take the diagnosis and run home with it and say, hey, I'm dead. Get the will out. Start selling everything off. You know, that's not what God has planned. So what am I saying in all of this? I'm saying that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy from you. And he's done a good job at lying to us. And he's lied to our children. And if we're not aware, I hope Ben don't mind me saying this, but we visited the other night. And being a dad, being a grandfather, being a man, you got to be on all the time. You got to be aware of what's going on in your home with your children, your grandchildren, your wife. That doesn't mean you wives don't either. I thank you. I thank you that you are the backup. You're the ones that hold us accountable. And man, Carr is such a support to me in that, and my family as well. But we got to be on. We got to be aware. That's what we were born to do. To be born a man has its own set of responsibilities to help lead, guide, and support, and to continue to bring the truths of what God says. I don't know whether to say what I'm really thinking here. Many of you know I'm going to take a chance. Dave, if you're watching this morning, just know your dad's heart. So Dave and I, we were estranged for about 3 years. And whose fault it was, doesn't matter. I don't know. Well, God led us to restore. And what a beautiful day it was. We had a double Easter resurrection this last Easter. When Dave came, he came home. We apologized to one another, loved on one another. And, of course, the resurrection of Christ as well. So last week, Carr and I and the family had the opportunity. For Carr and I, it was the first time we got to go visit this granddaughter that we haven't seen yet. So we Carr and I are the first ones there. Dave is there, has the baby. And as Dave comes in, or as we come in, Dave's there with a big grin on his face. He has the baby in his arms. And I walk in with Carr, and he walks over to me, and he hands the child to me, grinning from ear to ear. Dad, do you approve? He didn't say this. He didn't have to. Dad, do you approve? Dad, do you love me? Here, Dad. It was an affirmation. It was a point of, will you accept? And will you cover? And will you pray? Now, my son's more than capable to pray over this child and to lead her in the way she needs to go. But what a beautiful thing to have that opportunity to walk with him, to love on that baby now, to be a part of her little life. I mean, what about, Mom got to hold her too. I did take first dibs, so. But wow, the responsibility that we get and have as dads, as grandfathers, as men in this world, and the rewards are so great as well. So let's not give that up. So let's stand for a minute. I'm going to dismiss this all. All I'm asking is that you go home and you think about these things. You find somebody, and if you have some time over lunch or you're sitting somewhere this evening, just chew on a few of these things and go, man, he was way off base on that. You can let me know these things too. He was, you know what, that was thoughts that I never thought. The Holy Spirit really spoke through him, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, where do you find God? How do you fit in this big picture of the universe as it goes forward? Because we're a part of this, whether we want to be or not. We were knit together and wonderfully and beautifully made. And he spoke to us, and he put all these parts together, and he says, go. Go and rule. Go and be a part of. Go and conquer. Go and use the talents that I'm going to put within you. So, Lord, as we go forward, I just ask you that your Spirit would hover upon the hearts of each and every one of these, and you'd take this word with it. The Word of God, I love it. It's alive, and it's moving, and it's actually transferable from these screens and from the book of God to your hearts this morning. God, take this word, take this beautiful things that you've done, dear God, here this morning, dear God, and may we find you in a deeper, more wonderful and marvelous way. God, there's nothing new that I could speak about up here under the sun. All I have to go on is, Holy Spirit, if you show up, Holy Spirit, if you speak through me, then someone can go away victorious today. Even if it's a step, dear God, even if it's another move, dear God, in the right direction. And God, if we're people, dear God, that are already doing these things, thank you, dear God. Thank you for the strength, and that we can continue to move mountains together, dear God, in the name of Christ. Thank you for the freedom of this house, dear God. Thank you for the freedom and the participation of these people that are here and those that are online, dear God. Walk through and sweep through each and every home, dear God, and cleanse, dear God, and restore and bless. Be with us all as we go forward. Keep us safe, Lord. Watch over those that are still traipsing in Nicaragua, Lord. Continue. May this be a wonderful, wonderful trip, Lord, where many exploits for Christ are done. And we give you all praise. Lead us to next week. Come back together. In your holy name we pray. Amen.